Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Good to talk to you, Kerry. Thank you. Let's
get on.
Yeah, thank you for that. We're here Sunday nights with the best advice for your health, of course. So, yeah, join us each and every Sunday night for Healthy Living.
$3.85 million people in Australia suffer some form of arthritis. This is 18% of the population, thus one of our most common health ailments. The most common form of arthritis is osteoarthritis, the commonest affected being the knees, the hips and the joints in the hand. Over the past few decades, there have been a variety of pharmaceutical agents, natural therapies and surgical procedures available to treat osteoarthritis, all with varying effects but also many side effects and complications. Mr. Paul Rennie is the CEO of Paradigm Biopharmaceuticals. It's a Melbourne-based company that's developing exciting new treatments for osteoarthritis. Paul has been involved in drug development in a number of preclinical and clinical trial programs, and Paul's also had extensive experience in commercializing intellectual property. I'm delighted to say he's on the line. Good evening, Paul.
Oh, good evening, Ross. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate, and all the better for hearing your voice. Now, tell us about this new treatment, this pentosan polysulfate sodium. Let's just call it PPS. It's going to make it easier. Tell us about this. How does it actually work?
Yes, Ross, PPS is a drug that was developed over 60 years ago, and it was originally developed for a treatment of clots, blood clots, mm-hmm. a very mild anticoagulant. And in recent years, Paradigm Biopharmaceuticals has been finding new uses for this drug. And obviously the drug has a very good safety profile, been used in humans for over 60 years. And what we found is that the drug has some very unique mechanisms of action or the way that it works in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And in relation to osteoarthritis, two of the actions of the drug, first of all, it's a very potent anti-inflammatory.
Right.
It has been compared in preclinical studies, so used in animals compared to some of the other drugs, such as the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and also the corticosteroids. And as you mentioned, these drugs have been around for quite a while, but they're not without some of the...
We're desperate to get drugs that have less side effects but still are quite effective. So how does it actually affect inflammation?
Well, its mechanism is very well known. There's been a group in Japan that have done this research, and what they've been able to show is that the drug PPS is able to act on a component in the cell,
mm-hmm.
And it switches that off so that the cell then doesn't produce the inflammatory cytokines or the inflammatory chemicals such
right.
as TNF and IL-1.
Yeah, all the interleukins and TNF. So it works by affecting their actions. So how do people actually get it? How's it administered? Do you inject it directly into the joint, or do you give it some other way?
Well, just before I go into that, Ross, the other very exciting thing that we found with the pentosan, particularly as it applies to osteoarthritis, and we spoke about this when we spoke about the heart failure.
Mm.
When people have advanced osteoarthritis, there is this active remodeling going on in the bone and also the cartilage and the synovium. We know that remodeling is driven by some of these enzymes, the Adams tears 4 and Adams tears 5 and the MMPs 3 and 13. These are very well known targets that actually upregulated during osteoarthritis, and they actually break down the connective tissue. In the case of osteoarthritis, they break down the proteoglycans, the collagen, the versicant, aggrecans. So these are the connective tissues that hold the cartilage together.
Yes,
yeah. So PPS has been proven again, both in research laboratories, but also shown in preclinical studies that PPS will bind to and deactivate those cartilage degrading enzymes.
Right.
So that's probably for the first time we have a drug which has very good safety profile. It doesn't have the long-term side effects such as gastrointestinal bleeding or risk of heart failure or other heart disease. It doesn't have the issues associated with hardening of tendons and thinning the bone, those types of side effects that can occur with other drugs.
Mm.
So it's a very safe drug. it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory, and it's also a cartilage-protecting property as well.
So you're getting quite a few bangs for your buck with this stuff. So how is it actually administered?
Yes, so coming back to that, it's administered by a subcutaneous injection, so okay. It's not directly into the joint, it's just an injection of the drug under the skin.
Would it work better being injected into the joint?
We have data with injection into the joint and also systemically, the subcutaneous injection.
Mm.
And what we found is that the drug really needs to get into the subchondral bone. So it needs to actually get into the bone and into the marrow.
Mm.
That's an important part of the mechanism. So when you're going into the capsule and directly into the joint, of course, the drug can't get across the cartilage into the bone. So we think that at this point in time, the results that we're seeing significant reductions in pain when it's delivered subcutaneously. And, of course, it's much more a user-friendly type of approach than, the intra-articular injection, which is often, done through ultrasound guidance.
So if you're giving a subcutaneous injection, how often does the injection actually go for? Do you have it once a couple of times a week for 6 weeks or?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So with the osteoarthritis trials we're currently running, two injections a week, so two subcutaneous injections a week for 6 weeks, and obviously being a double-blind placebo control study, some people will receive placebo, the others will receive active, and at the end of the study we'll be able to then break the code and work out if the drug is doing exactly what we hope it's doing, which is reducing pain, improving function, and also resolving the bone lesions.
So that's the $64,000 question. How many people have you trialled, and what's the follow-up of them so far, and do you have any results to date?
That's a very good question. We know the drug was used some years ago in a study in Japan, and the study there wasn't double-blind placebo, but all of the patients were followed for 12 months, and significant improvement in pain scores.
Despite only 6 weeks of therapy?
Yes.
So you only need to give it for 6 weeks. So how many people have you trialled in the trial you're running at the moment?
Well, we currently are running a double-blind placebo control study, and we know that we've, out of our 100 patients, that's a 100-patient study, we have recruited around about 15 to 20 so far. So we're not through the recruitment phase yet, but we do expect to have that recruited and finished in terms of recruitment around about the middle of the year, next year, 2018. And then towards the end of 2018, we hope to have the results then finalised and published.
Okay. So, look, for somebody who, and I have a vested interest in this discussion, I can assure you, for somebody who's got lousy sinuses and a crappy right knee, this has some other actions as well. You've trialled it for, or it's been trialled for heart failure and sinus problems.